Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the 90th program in the series of Worcester Reports on CWCP Radio. My name's Tony Coppell, and Lorianne is actually sitting beside me as we prepare and produce this radio program. We are excited to have done this 90 times. We've had a wonderful time getting to know 89 people and being able to be friends with them and communicate with them subsequently. But we thought for this occasion, it's time that we reported back, Lorianne and I, on our mission trip, because we've got less than 2 months to go. So our interview will be each of us interviewing the other. So the format for today's interview will be that after I've just put down the ground rules, Lorianne will ask me a question, which I will attempt to answer, and then I will ask her a question. These will be questions similar to what is the most something, something, something. You get the idea.
Tony, to get us started, tell me something you really didn't expect on the mission field.
You know, I have lived in a few countries and I've seen extreme situations, but I have never witnessed and worked among people who have so little money. A typical thing that a child will ask when he meets anybody is 1 rand. That means he wants to ask you for 1 rand, which is actually enough to buy a very small packet of little niblet chips and things. And sadly, that's the kind of diet they live on, which is why many of them get obese, because their meals have been based on what they can get for 1 rand. It's frightening how a family will have no idea where tonight's dinner is coming from. They won't have any food in the house. And they just, some of them will work in the providence of God, will somehow help them out. But sadly, what actually happens is so many people go hungry. It's normal for children to have 1 meal a day, probably breakfast. And the breakfast is nothing special, I can tell you. So this was something we had to get, you never get used to it, but we have had to somehow accommodate it in the way in which we've done our mission amongst children. Clearly, we couldn't supply the food needs for lots and lots of families. That was out of the question. And it's a little foolish to give cash to parents because it'll probably get spent on completely the wrong things and not on food for the children. So we tended, when we did give out some money, to give small amounts directly to the children or preferably to buy them what they needed. And just to stave off the next few hours of very sore, hungry stomachs. Have you ever considered what it's like going to school on an empty stomach? Well, if I were doing that, I don't think I could learn anything. I'd be more concentrating on the lack of food than on what the teacher was saying. And that's the daily routine for so many children working in townships here, and particularly in Avian Park, where we've done quite a lot of our work. So that was something I really didn't expect. And now my chance to ask Lorianne a question. Name something that happened in the last 2.5 years whilst we've been here that you couldn't possibly have planned for And how did you work around it?
Two things, really, both concerning my health. The first one was hidradenitis suppurativa, which is an auto-inflammatory disease that causes boils and rashes. And we discovered that I had an overabundance of milk or cow dairy due to a diet that I had with rooibos shakes, which caused me to lose weight, but also caused me to break out in boils, which didn't seem to stop. They just kept coming and coming and coming. And then finally, I went to see a Dr. Dina, actually. She had diagnosed me with HS, and then she made an appointment, or she asked me to make an appointment with a dermatologist in Parle who confirmed the HS diagnosis. And this dermatologist told me to go off of dairy and to lose weight and to go off other things as well, including sugar. And we found that when I went off cow dairy, it went completely away. So that was the main trigger to do with boils. The other one was much harder for us to work with. The other one was inflammatory breast cancer, which completely threw us for a loop. However, when I did have a diagnosis, Holy Spirit did give me this image of Jesus carrying me, and it would be okay. And when the insurance tried to enforce me to go back to Canada within a week, and I insisted no. In fact, I believe it saved my life to stay in South Africa and receive the chemotherapy here, even though the treatments and the pre-treatments cost us $26,000 Canadian and counting. This was necessary to save my life. And because we stayed the extra 6 to 7 months, we were able to work on wrapping up our ministry and to deepen our legacy. And what it cost was, when we reached out to the kids and the teens we work with, they were on board with us and they shared the burden with us in praying for, and in the case of the kids in Worcester Primary, they even contributed towards the cost. Sure, it was only 1,000 rand, but it counted. And they were a major part of our lives on Tuesdays and praying for us every single day. And they really cared when the tumor went from 100% down to 40% through their prayers and the chemotherapy. And now it's down to about 5 to 10%. We're having a PET scan to determine. Tony, South Africa is technically 80% Christian in name. Why would missionaries go there?
80% Christian, and that means that if you say to virtually anybody in this country, do you know Jesus? They'll say yes. And if you ask if you can pray for them, they're always happy to say yes indeed. But there's a government here that seems to believe that cheating and stealing and corruption and so on are perfectly normal, and that's just the way to act, and they're all talk and no action. And even though leading members of that government are known to be of the Christian faith, and I'm quite sure that some of them are entirely sincere, what I'm coming round to saying is that nominally Christian, but not exactly practicing Christian principles. They don't seem to believe that once you've made a commitment to Christ that you stop stealing or you stop doing numbers of other things. So think of missionaries not just as people who introduce the people to Christ who've never heard of him before, but people who can actually make that faith mean something and to show that it is something you live by. You don't just be aware of it. But I will add one more thing. There's a wonderful YWAM here in Worcester, and they're training missionaries all the time. And those missionaries go out to different parts of the world, including into South Africa. So this particular town of Worcester has been a center for missionaries to come to for many, many years. And we have worked closely with the wonderful missionaries from YWAM. But there's plenty to do here in terms of, shall we say, food for the body as well as food for the spirit. And that occupies quite a lot of our time as well. Okay, Laurianne, here's...
And actually, I want to back up. It's not only the desperate needs of the poor and uneducated, but we know that in Africa, Christianity is a mile wide and an inch deep, and we want to deepen that and to make a lasting legacy of true disciples. So it's about discipleship. So now you can ask me the next question.
Which is, was there any latent talent that you have that blossomed during your time here?
Absolutely. South Africa has unlocked me as an artist. I actually had put aside my art gifting for some years because when I came to faith, it was more like my identity, and we needed to have my identity in Jesus as a child of God, not as an artist first. So I put that on the altar, so to speak, for a few years, quite a few years. And then when we were in Mozambique at our harvest school, I started drawing again. And then when we were on our extended outreach in just outside Robertson, I was encouraged by the Farees, especially, to just keep drawing. And that was my outreach. That was my, other than when we went to spend time in kids club and go out and do outreach on the streets, mainly with children and teens, I was to continue to draw and draw and draw. And in fact, they had asked me to draw a field that has flags from different flags of the world just outside their winery. And so they had me draw that as a landscape and then other drawings as well. And since then, it hasn't stopped. And when we returned to Canada, I started drawing in worship nights at Catch the Fire Ottawa, and then it deepened even more. And then when I returned here, I would go and draw the mountains, or I'd go draw people or so on. But then I started doing the prophetic drawings that I was doing in Catch the Fire to places here. I would go into church. I would, when we go into YWAM and we would do worship there, I would have an impression there and I would draw it. We would do soaking prayer with the My Father's House girls. We have discipleship Saturdays, and sometimes we would have art days. So we would turn on the soaking prayer music and we would all draw. And so I would usually have drawings that could be like really good drawings that could be taken further into this coloring book. And I was actually encouraged by Holy Spirit to stop coloring the drawings, but to instead have Tony scan them, and we would create coloring sheets for the kids to color in. And we first started this out on the farm kids in Finkrafir, and we found that we were onto something because the kids didn't want to do anything. They just wanted to cause havoc until they started coloring my drawings, and they were quiet for over an hour. And we're thinking, wow, we're onto something here. These drawings are anointed. So then we tried this with the Avian Park kids, and they were a little less quiet, but they were equally excited to color in. We did this with the kids in Kinderkirk at Worcester Christian Church, and then we did this with other kids' clubs, and equally, they all loved it, and they loved it at Worcester Primary School. And so it's because of this that we are making a coloring book, which should be published sometime near the end of this month. So, Tony, what ministry gave you the greatest joy during our time here in South Africa?
I had to think about this because several is the answer. But I think what finally comes to the top is the prison ministry. We've been in prison ministry for a long time, nearly 20 years. But here, there were a number of differences. Number one, Bronfly Correctional Center is a beautiful place. I don't know why anyone would want to escape from it. Number two, most of the guards we met are already Christians and had an attitude towards the inmates which we'd never seen before in prison ministry in Canada, for example. They actually would encourage them and treat them as human beings. Now, we worked in both the medium security wing and also in the youth center. In the youth center, I was partnered by Soraya Falquin, who speaks Afrikaans and is a YWAM missionary. And I can say that as we go in there every Saturday morning, week by week, and we have 20 to 30 youth, that's ages from about 17 to 27, 28. And we see the enthusiasm with which they greet us and take part. When they sing, you can't hear my electric guitar. It's just, they're full of joy and they really listen. The Alpha film series has proved extremely good, even though it's not an Afrikaans soundtrack. But they know enough English to follow it, as most people here watch English movies much of the time. And I go away from those sessions feeling that this is really well worthwhile. God has been there. He's just using me and Soraya and Laurianne in a very special way. And we are really appreciated, both by the prison officers and or particularly by the inmates. So greatest joy has come from prison ministry in Bronfly Correctional Center. Same question to you, Laurianne. What ministry has given you the greatest joy?
Well, other than the art, I would say the children. And my friend Lorna, back in Ottawa, she had prophesied over me this scripture, and I think it was Isaiah 51. I could check it out again. It talked about, blessed is the woman who has not born children, for out of her will have more children than she can count, that type of thing. And there are many of these children in both the different children's clubs and some of the children that we met in when we were on Mondays in the library. Even though it was rather chaotic, there were certain kids that grabbed and tugged on my heart that I specifically had divine moments with, but also the teen girls we work with, the kids in certain kids that we also connected with in Legacy Relay. And these are my children. And there were even a few of the kids in Masterpiece Academy, not all of them, but again, they were divine appointments and we were very, very special time with these kids. And so I became like a mother to these kids, or grandmother in some cases. It depended. Each one, there was a different relationship, but there was still definitely a maternal type relationship with the kids. What has challenged you the most while we are here in Southern Africa? Notice I say Southern Africa, not South Africa.
Well, it has to be the car. Now, we have a wonderful car. It's a 2004 Mercedes, and it's such a blessing that we managed to buy it. But there have been a number of times when it didn't work. Something went wrong.
We missed Soraya's wedding, for one thing.
The most dramatic, I think, was when we were a quarter of the way up a mountain pass and the car was going more and more slowly and finally stopped on quite an incline. And this, I think, was teaching us to trust in the Lord. The story is told elsewhere, so I'm not going to go into any detail, but let's just say that within a few minutes, within 5 minutes, somebody had stopped to ask us if he could help. And it actually turned out to be a blessing, because if the car hadn't broken down there, it might have broken down in the middle of Namibia. And on some of those roads, you only see another car once every half an hour. So we were actually able to get towed back by the AA, and I think God was on our side. But it has happened a few other times. Just this week, for example, I turned the key and the car just did not burst into life. On that particular occasion, I and the kids in the car at the time, we just prayed, and you may not believe this, but the next time I turned the key, the car burst into life. So the kids were absolutely amazed, and I was pretty amazed. So lots of stories around that, but it has caused us quite a lot of concerns, but I would not say worry, because every time we've worked it out and we've been able to figure out the least bad option and we've kept going, and that car, we could not possibly have done mission work here without the car. And we actually love that particular car. I'm really sad I won't be driving a Mercedes much longer. Right, next question for you, Lorianne. You organized all our holidays and our breaks. That's your part of our partnership. You've done that ever since we've been married 20 years ago. Why did you feel that these were so important? You got thinking about this well in advance. I probably wouldn't have bothered to do it if I'd been here on my own.
If you were here alone, you still would have taken breaks. You just wouldn't quite have gone as far or as fancy. I definitely insisted that we would take breaks. Sometimes we would take little day trips. I thought it was important to discover more about the country that we're living in. And part of getting to know the people is also getting to know her land. So we didn't get to know Cape Town as much as I would have liked, but we did get to have day trips to see Montague and Cape Agulhas and other places like that. And then we took our first trip to the Eastern Cape, which was lovely, and a long driving trip. And we got to know some other irisers along that. And then the next one was, we took three trips to the West Coast. And this was when we first started getting HS. And we went to Clan William, and we went to Langeban and to Paternoster, which was lovely. And then, yes, we discovered that's where that Clan William is, that area is where Rooibos comes from. So that was a good journey also to get to know the lady who used to run the Rooibos tea house. So Tony had interviewed her. And then we had our home visit, so that didn't really count. And then when we came back, we wanted to see the spring flowers in the West Coast in bloom. And that ended up being my chemo moon, which was a very, very important little getaway for us to have, which we needed before the onslaught of chemotherapy. And then the next trip that we had was in Namibia, which I had originally asked for Australia, but Tony said, no, let's go to Namibia. He'd always wanted to go there. So, of course, it would be a very long drive, but we managed it having had a rental car as well. And we got to see the famous Sausage Flay and Dead Flay that is in one of my drawings. Tony walked into Dead Flay itself. And then we got to see other areas of Namibia, and we felt enriched by the experience of being in this desert. It was meant to be a honeymoon with Jesus, and it was in when we went into Swakopmund, because we ended up staying in a Christian retreat house. So that was lovely. It was meant to be a very quiet place, and it was. And our last little getaway was our one-night getaway to Stellenbosch for Tony's birthday, which was a lovely little experience, very, very quiet. And we got to have dinner in the middle of a rugby museum. And so Tony had this nice little holiday break for his birthday. We went to Hillsong Somerset West. We saw our friend, Lise. So it was a nice little getaway where we felt recharged and refreshed. So it was important to do that and not just stay and work and work and work and work and work, which is what we tend to do here. So, Tony, what ministry did you find disappointing in terms of its effects on others?
I have to say, what we're doing now, CWCP Radio, we've done this because we've been in radio for quite a while and we actually enjoy it. And I have thoroughly enjoyed doing the interviews, getting to meet people and so on through this medium of radio. But it's disappointing because of the very small numbers of people who've listened to our programs. When we started, a long time ago now.
2 years ago.
We had accolades coming through from people on the very first program. They're still up there. You can read them. People saying, wow, fantastic. What a great broadcast and so on. Well, we've done, this is our 90th fantastic great broadcast since then, but nobody seems to be showing any interest now. So why do we continue? I think it's because we always saw this primarily from the podcast's point of view. They will be up forever, and anyone who wants to get a picture of South Africa from a missionary's eye view can go there and fill your boots with all this good stuff. Learn about South Africa, learn about what it's like to be a missionary, and that will be a reward in itself. I've long ceased doing things because of somebody pats me on the back and says, oh, you did a great job. That is a recipe for being very disappointed in life. So we don't do things for that reason. We do things because we feel called to do it through the Holy Spirit. And he made it pretty clear to us that this was something we could do on this ministry, since we've got the knowledge and the understanding and the technical skills and also the equipment. So that's why we've done it. We're sitting here talking to you all today, all one or two of you, and we're still keeping it up, and we're going to carry on until we leave here. Maybe we can get up to 100 broadcasts. And that is kind of like a legacy.
And it's also an important group of portraits of the different people that Tony has interviewed, and each show also, or most shows, you also include Ways to Grow in God devotionals and music and different musing on that Tony has. So there are portraits into the ministry that we've done here in South Africa, and I believe it's also foundational for the ministry that we'll have in later ministry assignments. So this is really just the beginning, and podcasting really is the way to go. So this has not been a bad thing.
Now, we leave in 6 weeks. What are you going to miss most after your time here?
While I do receive joy from serving the Lord during our current assignment, I've considered this a glorious mission convergence season, which even HS and cancer has not pushed me off. I would be missing the people and the relationships we cultivated. I will be missing the girls. I will be missing the people that we work with, like Jan and Karika and Louie and the teachers in Worcester Primary and Mella and Kevin Daly and people like that. I will be missing them because they have become family. The girls have become family. The children have become grandchildren. I'll be missing them. What about your relationship with the many children in Avian Park who know your name? Every time we go into Avian Park, or sometimes even in High Street in Worcester, we hear, Tony, Uncle Tony. They call me Yella. For you, they call you by name. Will you miss them?
Actually, just last night, I was driving at night in Avian Park looking for one of our girls, Jamelia. And I thought that I knew approximately where she would be, and I was driving around here, and a police van draws up beside me, and he says, are you okay? You seem to be just wandering all over the place. It's dangerous. If you'd stop the car here, somebody might bring harm to you. And I said to him, it's all right. I'm looking for a particular person. I know my way around. And he said, oh, you know this place? I said, yes, I do. So 2.5 years ago when we started, I would have been very scared if a police car had drawn up beside me in Avian Park. The children who we've got to know there over these couple of years, they're lovely people. I don't know how they managed to grow up in the family situations that they have done. I'm talking about two groups here. I'm talking about teenagers who we've trained to lead Bible study groups. But I'm also talking about the kids in those Bible study groups. They're gorgeous. They are sweet-natured. They're enthusiastic. When I arrive at anyone's house, I get surrounded by some of them, all wanting just to say hi. So those relationships will stay with me for a long time. They may even stay with me via WhatsApp and other methods.
In fact, Tony is so enthused about them that when the girls weren't able to come up for Tony's birthday for our regular discipleship Saturday, he invited Jamelia's mailbox club to share birthday cake and ice cream. Tell us about that.
Well, that's biblical. When the person giving the party did not see any of his invited guests turning up, he went out and he found, from amongst the high roads and the by roads, other people who, and I, that was on my mind when I suddenly thought, all right, we'll invite some of the younger kids and they can eat the ice cream. And it turned out to be a very pleasant way of spending my birthday. I just feel that I came over here fairly old, not the sort of person who normally would be ministering to children, but I feel totally comfortable with them now, and they seem to like me. So that's good. Those relationships will stay with me, and we have hundreds, if not thousands, of photographs to remind me of them all. Now, was it good for you, Laurie-Anne, to feel in the background, perhaps, the support of IRIS, of IRIS Global, while we've been here? Because we're IRIS missionaries.
We are. And in fact, there are many parts of IRIS Global. IRIS Global in themselves, there's a big family online, and they have prayed for us and encouraged us. In fact, even Heidi Baker prayed for me during my cancer journey. Papa Brian Britton had told me that she was praying Psalm 91, the Passion Translation, over me concerning the cancer. And that brought me great joy. And there were many, many IRIS missionaries who came alongside to pray and some to even give financially towards the crowdfunding. And then there was IRIS Ministries Canada, which is primarily set up as a covering to do with Canadian tax receipts for Canadian donors, for Canadian missionaries who are on the field. But it's run by caring people like Janice and Angie. And so they've been praying along with us all along. So that's been wonderful there. But our local Western Cape IRIS have been caring and there for us, but they've also given us a very long leash. They pretty well have let us grow at our own speed while we let them know what we're doing. They're not there to micromanage. And so they asked for, Johan had assigned us to Worcester, and he pointed us in the direction of connecting with the local YWAM, as well as working with them, although we haven't been working as much with their own ministries as we had planned, because it didn't turn out to be as conducive for us, because we're more Worcester-based than we are Robertson-based. And once they discovered our fit was better for the Worcester ministries, they were fine with that. They didn't try to force us to come back to Fink for Fear when they found new leaders to run the club. And originally I had wanted them to help them to do with their website, but again, we were Worcester-based because Tony originally was teaching science Monday to Friday in Masterpiece Academy, and we had to stay within Worcester. And it wasn't until we finished our assignment at Masterpiece Academy that we could go a little further afield. And also, when we were going back and forth to Cape Gate for chemo, that also opened up other opportunities within Helderberg area and Cape Town. So we were given carte blanche within the Worcester area. So Tony, you have been the ultimate workaholic for many, many years, and you haven't slowed down on the mission field. You were still as busy as you were before. However, I know that you would also take time for devotionals before you would work, so you weren't entirely working by flesh but by spirit. So you would spend that time with the Lord. So other than the time with the Lord, how did you relax?
Yes, I think that if anyone was planning on doing a long-term mission trip and think that there might be time for reading all those books you never got around to or something like that, think again, I'm afraid. All the things that I planned to do here that were not directly concerned with missionary work, none of those things have got done. There has not been too much spare time. And that's fine because it's never been boring. But it was clear to me that I needed to stop myself at least once during each day. So we found that we could see some favorite TV stuff that I'd never had time for before on the South African Netflix, which is called Showmax. And I think we started with Downton Abbey, or I started with Downton Abbey. I'd never seen any Downton Abbey before. We watched the whole series.
No.
One night a week.
No, we started with Victoria.
We started with Victoria. Season 2. Okay, yes. I can't remember all the things we did, okay. But let's just say
I got you onto Downton Abbey, yeah. And yeah. Then you were watching the lawyer shows of
The Good Wife,
and The Good Fight.
So that was just about 45 minutes a day where I wasn't doing stuff specifically to do with our missionary work. And I think it was really good for me. I completely forgot about the day and got into the TV. And it was good for us to sit next to each other and cuddle up and watch it on the iPad. We have a wonderful music collection here, which we brought with us on discs. We did digitize it all. So there have been times when we've been able to listen to music, not as much as I would have liked. And lastly, because we have our TV system is called OpenView TV, which we recommend to anybody, and that includes the BBC World News, which you won't find on DSTV. So we've been able to keep up with world events very well, and I actually love that. I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because I find it fascinating just to see what's going on in the world. So we usually watch the BBC World News at least once during a day.
And don't forget that we also worship together.
We do lots of that.
Yes.
But I'm talking here about, shall we say, non-missionary work relaxation.
Yeah, but worship is not necessarily work.
Basically, we've enjoyed everything that we've done here. There has not been anything that we thought, oh dear, I've got to go and do that. Quite the reverse. It's been a whole thing of joy. And so in winding up this interview with each other, thank you those listeners who have followed us on a semi-regular basis. And we hope that you found it interesting. I don't know how much longer we're going to broadcast for. We have an possibility of doing so when we get back to Canada, but we'll see how things work out there. We'll have some other priorities.
Well, we'll be based on a farm, so we'll see how that goes. It all depends on internet, but we may be back broadcasting when we're living in the condo again. But we'll see how that goes.
And so we'll now slide from this first part of this program into the next edition of Ways to Grow in God, which Laurie-Anne has been busily preparing this week, and it is called
Ways to Grow in Wisdom. Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through wisdom. My name is Laurie-Anne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we learned about growing in humor and positivity. We learned that laughter, good clean humor, and fun are good for body and soul. These help in many ways to combat disease, even serious illnesses like cancer. Laughter and humor are also gifts from God. They were given to us as gifts, although some became tainted with sin, and Pharisees and some Christians alike don't want to touch it. It seems sinful. But Jesus offers abundant life to those who love him and follow him. To the humble who have suffered, he offers laughter, he offers joy. Heaven is shown as a wedding feast, and that there is enjoyment in abundance. To have a taste of holy laughter is like tasting heaven. Wisdom is also a spiritual attribute that is a taste of heaven. In fact, so much so that many people desire it. This was one of my deepest desires as a baby Christian. I not only wanted to know things just to learn, but I wanted to know how to handle situations and just how things worked. I still desire to learn and was encouraged after Algonquin College Radio Broadcasting School to be a lifelong learner. It has taken time for Jesus to blend my different skills and learning together. He's taken the art and blended it into soaking prayer. He's taken the radio broadcasting into podcasting, storytelling, devotional writing, and more. And he's taken the ministry degree with counseling into pastoral care and inner healing in unique situations that are situated outside of an office. I'm what you call a secondary counselor rather than a therapist. But Holy Spirit's wisdom shines through as he reminds me where to go to share some word or correction at just the right time. I'm currently attending a South African inner healing course called Touching Hearts. It's based on some of the teachings I learned from Elijah House in the 1990s, as well as other ministries. Even though some of the teachings aren't new, refreshing knowledge in a new way brings deeper insight. And wisdom's insight don't just scratch the surface. Just remember that if you've read the Bible cover to cover once and think you've read it all. No, there is more just waiting for you when you read it again. The Bible just isn't any book. During our time here in Worcester, we've become part of a ministry called Legacy Relay. We and others from our retirement village go into Worcester Primary School as Aunt Lorianne and Uncle Tony. Our day is Tuesday morning with the English grade ones. We bring them music, usually children's Christian songs, 5 to 10 minutes of science, and then art. This starts as coloring, goes into soaking prayer and drawing their own drawings, and then learning Christian symbols so they can express themselves better. Last school year, we had a little boy called Liam. He was one of the bright lights of the class and was very inquisitive. He has a soft heart that easily hears Holy Spirit, and he grasps what we are teaching him, especially in art. Some of the children couldn't understand the concept of a Christian symbol, so we taught this a few times. I was inspired to set up a 30-inch by 40-inch canvas that I divided into four. We made four groups, and each had a part of creating an abstract background, first in watercolor pencil, and then by turning the pencil into paint by using water and a brush. This was merely the backdrop of where the learners would place their own personal symbols on the canvas. Some of the children knew in advance what symbol they wanted to paint. Many were crosses, others were doves, hearts, and hands. Some drew rockets, which I thought was interesting, until the teacher told me they were learning about space that week. Oh well, but Liam? He was told his special Christian symbol by another way. He loved to color or draw at my feet, and one day I sent something from Holy Spirit for him. I called him over and told him that I believed I had a word for him from Jesus, just for him. I asked if he had been asking Jesus for wisdom. I saw an impression of him whispering in Jesus' ear with an earnest request for wisdom. Like me, he just wanted to know and grow. When I shared this picture with him, he brightened and nodded. I also told him that Jesus will give him that wisdom and wants to shower love into his heart. Liam's Christian symbol was a hug between Liam and Jesus. Of course, this wasn't easy for a 6-year-old to draw, so he drew Jesus and himself holding hands. It was so beautiful. He remembered what I told him, and when it came time to paint his symbol, this is exactly what he painted. Asking for wisdom is biblical. King Solomon asked for wisdom to be able to govern Israel. He was granted that request and given more, since it was a worthy and unselfish request. His motives at the time were right. Solomon's heart was right, and he was answered in a vivid dream recorded in 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 14. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, "What do you want? I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here am I in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I may govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or will ever have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Solomon was humble to call himself like a child, and he asked for wisdom not for his own gain, but to use for governance. As he governed, he later became noted for his wisdom, as shown in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. These collected books show wisdom from other wise men, as well as his own wisdom. And yet, with all this wisdom, we are told in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Solomon was the wisest man in all of history, and yet his downfall was in being led astray by his many wives into other religions. He did not stay faithful to the Lord. He did not heed to the wisdom God gave him. The Apostle James also spoke about wisdom. James 3, verses 13 to 18, shares about two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise in understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So James is saying that wisdom is a fruit of the Spirit, even if it's not officially on the Galatians 5 list of the fruit of the Spirit. Wisdom is also a spiritual gift. It's something that God gives. James 1 verses 5 to 6 share that if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. So wisdom and direction come from God, where you must be in a position of trusting the one who gives. Tony highly respects the gift of wisdom, which is one of the spiritual gifts he often asks me to explain. There is the gift of the word of knowledge, which I am often given. I can explain things intuitively, or I get pictures like impressions on my spirit. I get inspired and just know. This happens when I pray for someone and I'm given direction on how to pray or what to pray about. Or I get direction on how to teach, how to draw an inspiring drawing, or what to speak about when I'm about to share in a Bible study. This is Holy Spirit inspiration. The gift of wisdom goes further in direction and the practical use of the knowledge given. Wisdom is innately practical, as it is creative. It's almost like wisdom has a personality of its own. What is wisdom? Is wisdom just a desirable trait or something more? I went to Google and found various synonyms for wisdom, words like sagacity, sageness, intelligence, understanding, insight, perception, acuity, discernment, shrewdness, acumen, soundness, foresight, savvy, prudence, and advisability. Wisdom is perceived as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the fact of being based on sensible or wise thinking. Wisdom can be tied with experience. In this way, Tony was discovered and encouraged by Prophet David Wagner at our 2016 Harvest School. While Tony had never before had prophetic words for others, he could now prophesy. David prophesied over Tony a blessing. He said, "Do any of you need wisdom? Ask Tony." This reminded me of the Apostle James reminding the church to ask God for wisdom. Sometimes you pray and then ask a wise person for guidance shortly afterwards. They will often confirm what the Holy Spirit is saying. I was very pleased for Tony's accolades by David Wagner, since Tony does have this gift in how to practically flesh out Holy Spirit's directions, whether in a stop for the one assignment or on a long-term mission field like we have in South Africa. Wisdom is practical as it is intuitive. Proverbs 1 verses 21 to 33 Share about wisdom being like a woman calling and teaching on the streets. Here's the beginning of that passage. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. When I read this, I remembered the streets of Avian Park, or any township really. And in those streets, you will find gang members sitting around the gates of their own territory, thinking they are wise by their mocking, and being the product of dropping out of school early and to instead ingest drugs and alcohol and to commit murder for money or status in their gang. They are not wise. They are fools. Psalm 14 verse 1 shares, only fools say in their hearts there is no God. They are corrupt, and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. True wisdom begins with acknowledging God. Proverbs 9 verses 10 to 12 share just how important that is. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. So wisdom adds to your health and longevity. Maybe that's why some people associate wisdom with old age, because they have more experience. Yet you don't have to be old to be wise. You do, however, have to have learned from your own experiences as well as those of others. Wisdom is also not locked up in one gender. It's not a gift just given to men. Christy Walker shares about the characteristics of a wise woman and chose to use Proverbs 31 as her source. She says that a wise woman is a woman of godly character. Proverbs 31 verses 10 to 12 states, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. A wise woman is a woman who does not waste her time, her resources, her abilities, or her life. Proverbs 31 verses 13 to 27 share that the wise woman is industrious. She selects raw products like wool and flax, spins, weaves, and sews. She makes useful things like bedding and linen, garments and sashes. She sells her goods, buys real estate, plants vineyards, helps the poor and needy. She teaches those in her household and well beyond. Due to the fruit of her labor, attitude, and diligence, she has dignity and strength, and her husband is highly respected because of her. She is also a woman who is praised and loved, even by her husband and children. Too often we see families where the reverse happens. But the fruit of a wise woman is there for all to see, and she keeps her own praise for the Lord. Christy Walker notes that this wisdom is practical and active in both Proverbs 31 and Matthew 11 verse 19, which says that wisdom is proved right by her actions. Wisdom is also something that can be passed on, as in legacy. It's one of the reasons why we are involved in teaching and loving the grade ones in Worcester Primary every week. We are passing down gems of wisdom, whether it's in science, worship, art, geography, or about my cancer journey. We shared this week about what my health concerns meant, and the deepest impact was the loss of my hair. I explained how my hair was, what the cancer medication does to hair, and what my hair looks like now. Of course, they were curious and got to see what was under my hat. I was prepared for the shock, whoops, and giggles, although I did warn them that my new hair was very short. They now know what a cancer patient looks like, and they related their own hospital stories. They learned from my story, and many of them shared their own. Proverbs 13 verse 20 shares that if we walk with the wise, we become wise. WikiHow shares a page on how to gain wisdom. It says, wisdom is a virtue that isn't innate, but can only be acquired through experience. Anyone who is interested in trying new things and reflecting on the process has the ability to gain wisdom. By learning as much as you can, analyzing your experiences, and putting your knowledge to the test, you can become a wiser person. Wisdom is more caught than taught, but it's also a gift that you can develop. Wisdom is also the ability to discern the consequences of your actions. Sometimes this is developed through bad experience turned into a learning situation. Other times, it's to make that connection without having to go through that process. Or it can be to take other incidences and extrapolate them onto their personal circumstances. Tony taught three of our teen girls about the consequences of certain actions and to warn them of the results. One of the girls already had a pregnancy scare, so she should have put two and two together. However, the same girl went into our bathroom and sprayed Tony's shaving gel onto the wall and the toilet. She apparently thought that was funny. She did this before, but we didn't know that was her. This time we knew and called her out on it. When we confronted her, she was shocked because she didn't believe we didn't ask each girl if it was them rather than her. But we knew that it was her, and we knew the other girls. Tony forgave her, and we trust that she's learned not to do this to other people. Sometimes wisdom is hard won when you are a fool. But when you genuinely seek to be wise, open your heart and ask God for it, He will generously give you the foundation of wisdom with some pearls to grow. God also gives us mentors and situations. So grow in your garden lots of pearls of wisdom. You may just find the pearl of great price in that garden, the one that leads many to the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for wisdom, the gift of wisdom, and the potential for wisdom. We ask for your intervention from our own silliness and to make us wise in you. Please reach out to those who have been seeking you to learn and grow wise, like Liam. It was his greatest wish and still remains one of mine. Thank you for already making me wise, and yet to know there is still more to learn. So we must be teachable and humble in spirit. Thank you for these wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Copples Western Cape Radio.
From the original film of The Lion King. I'll never forget hearing that for the first time in the cinema. It was forever imprinted on my brain. I just love that tune. And the words are pretty good, too. We were reminded of it by watching Rocket Man last week and the way in which drugs can appear to wreck someone's life, as they have wrecked so many people's lives here, particularly in the townships like Avian Park. But one of the messages of the film is that the ravages of drugs can be overcome. And one of the things that we've tried to do here in this community is to give people hope that with education and a belief of what Jesus Christ can do in anybody's life, there's a better way ahead for many of the people that we've worked with. My dream is that in 10 years' time, we will meet again with one or more of those teenage girls or those kids in Masterpiece Academy, that we've been able to instill a few ideas and to see the results as they've matured. Thank you for listening to the 90th edition of the Worcester Reports. This is Tony Koppel and Laurie-Anne Koppel signing off. God bless you all. We'll be back here next week. DV.